I lay down. It's been a long day at work. I'm ready to just relax. She does this thing where she walks up to me and she'd be like, "Hey, can you take out the garbage?" And I, listen, and I swear, listen, I'm not, I promise, that it's like, and you know what? It's like she's testing me. It's like she feels like it's time to test me. She'd be like, "Wait, you just sat down. I know he's comfy. He just got his little beverage. He's watching a little show. Hey, can you take out the garbage?" But I have a really bad track record at doing it because I'd be like, "Yeah, I'll do it." I'll be like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I think that she catches on that I haven't done in a while because she does this thing. I promise you, no matter where she is in the house, I can hear it from the other room. She does this thing where I'd be like, "Yo, I'll take care of it. Don't worry." She'd be like, and she'll look, and I promise, I might be in the other room, but I see her eyes. And here's the crazy thing is, I promise I really do have the worst track record at taking it out. No one wants to get up out their comfy chair and go walk and take out the nasty garbage. But I tell you something. I wanted to bring life to this Bible verse that we hear all the time because I feel like sometimes we act like God has a bad track record with us. And what happens is when God makes a promise to us, we really feel like for some reason he's as bad as I am at taking out the garbage. And we kind of forget that the Lord, he has a crazy track record for us. See, Jesus parted the seas to bring his people from slavery. He shut the mouth of lions. Jesus anointed a man to come down through a woman and save a people, his son. God has an amazing track record. I'm sure you could look back at moments in your life where God has done something for you. And I say all that to say this, that Jesus, God, makes it really simple. He says, "Me, the God of the universe, the invisible God, the King of ages, the one who sees the coastlands as dust, the one who sits outside of the world and sees men as grasshoppers, has chosen you as his royal priesthood, his holy people." And he says, "I want to come into an agreement with you." Say an agreement. And he says, "I want to agree that I will always do this for you if you do that for me." But God comes different than us because, see, we broken promises to God all the time, and he knows that. But he says, "Although I've never broken a promise to you, even though you've broken many to me, I've forgotten about those moments, and I'm willing, if you just obey my command and do what I ask, to bless you so innumerous you couldn't even count it." And I want to read this verse. We hear it a lot about tithing. We hear it a lot about giving to the Lord. But I want this to have new life with you tonight. I want you to remember the track record that the Lord has. And I want you to realize this is what he's bringing when he comes with a deal to the table with you. In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you such a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that he will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and the vine of your field shall not fail to bear fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations," say all nations, "all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts." Wait a second. So God says something to you. I want you to think about this. And I think about this sometime when I'm thinking about the Lord, how my wife does that thing where she'd be like, the Lord is waiting. And he says, matter of fact, "I'm so good, you could even test me. And I promise I'll show up for you." So I wanted to declare this to you tonight because I believe there's millionaires in this room. I believe there's people that will fund an end time harvest to see the greatest revival this world has ever seen. I believe there's a dream inside of you that Jesus has, and it's going to take money to fulfill it. It's going to take resources to fulfill it. And I want to say that God has a blessing for you when you enter into a covenant with him where he'll pour out such a blessing on your life there will not even be room to receive it. And better yet, all the nations will call you blessed. They'll look upon you and see the work of the Lord upon your life. So everyone stand up to your feet. I just want to pray real quick. We're about to go into worship. I'm going to say this again. Listen, this is the first act of worship. You know, we have Sunday youth room on Sundays. I pray you come and bring your tithe every Sunday faithfully. And I pray even today that you start that covenant with God in your giving, in your sowing, in your seeding. And I want to say this. Remember what the Lord, remember his track record for your life. As we enter into praise, as we enter into worship, keep that before your mind and show him who, how he is Lord of your life in this moment. This is a holy moment right here. Bow your heads. Father, I pray that you touch each and every single young person in this room, Father. Fill them up, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, drop a numerical number in their heart that will stretch them, push them, Lord Jesus. Give them creative ideas this week to obtain wealth that they may present you an acceptable and pleasing offering to you, Father. We give you glory. We give you all the honor, Father, and we praise your holy name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all can come, touch the bucket, bring your tithe up. And get ready for some praise.
Ready? Y'all ready to praise Jesus in here? There was two people. Who were they? Y'all two. I think it was. Oh, no. It was you and you. There it is. Come on and clap with us. Y'all know this. Say,
Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord.
You sing it out. Say, Lord.
Lord, we lift you up.
Come on, y'all.
We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord. We lift you up. We lift you up for all the eternity.
Say, we lift you up.
We lift you
Father,
up.
We lift you up.
We lift you up
higher. Father, we give you praise. We give it up louder. Sing louder.
Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord. We lift you up. We lift you up for all eternity. Say, Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you.
Come on and sing that.
Higher, 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 higher.
I want to hear you sing. Say.
Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus.
Come on, lower.
Lower.
Supernatural power, shout.
Super, 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 supernatural.
Come on and sing, Lord.
Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see you, Lord. We lift you up. We lift you up for all eternity. Say, Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up. For all the world to see,
yeah.
Say, Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the.
Keep the kick drum going real quick. So we're about to sing the higher, higher part. And if God has kept you, and if he's blessed you, and if you're here in this building and you can take a deep breath in, then that means that you should be lifting him higher, right? Higher, higher.
Higher, 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 say. Lift Jesus higher.
Come on, y'all.
Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher.
Again, yo.
Lower.
natural.
Super, 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 supernatural power.
Sing it out.
Super, 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 supernatural power.
Come on and give God a shout of praise today. Yo, I really gotta say this. I really gotta say this. This team is phenomenal. Because earlier tonight at 5:30, they didn't know this song. But they learned it and they executed. And it's because of their heart to worship. And it's because of their heart to praise. So come on and just give God a shout of praise for your worship team real quick. Such an amazing opportunity to be here. Is God awesome tonight? Is he awesome? Come on, y'all got to give him an awesome praise.
When I am weak and forever.
Feel the presence of God in this room. We love you, Jesus. Come on, if you feel God in this room, will you go ahead and just lift up your hands? Maybe you're in the room and say, I want to feel God, but I don't. Will you lift up your hands? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for another level of your presence. Father, a greater awareness of you. We don't want to come to church just to say we went to church. We don't want to be in a building just to say we went to a building. Father, we came to meet with you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The I am that I am, the one that loves us. So, Father, turn our eyes all the way to you so that we can experience you in a new and a fresh way. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you love him, can I hear an amen? Amen, amen. You guys can grab a seat. It's the end of summer. I'm not really concerned that there's not a ton of people here because I got the right people here. If you're the right people, can I hear an amen out of you real quick? I am sad, though. We got a couple of our seniors. This is their last night. Sad. We're going to miss Emily. We're going to miss Olivia. We just found that Olivia's like track speed star record. She won it for her team. But man, we're going to miss them. But here's what I do know. We got some new people that are coming. Amen? All right. Nope. Okay. We're going to stay right here. This is what it's going to be. Praise God. Awesome. New people. Yeah, we can't. Look, bro, you know what's crazy? We got OGs literally for like the last 11 years. I got OGs that got babies now. It's pretty wild. If you could do me a favor, though, I want to start setting better service culture. Once we start preaching, you don't need to run to the bathroom. It's only a couple minutes. Hold it. Bring your Bible with you. Who got a Bible? Who owns a Bible? Who got it with them? Hey, Young Stern, Shreya, let me see it, hold it up. Look, I know you got a Bible on your phone, and they work great, but I love my Bible. Anybody else love their Bible? I want to encourage you to love your Bible. And I had notes, but I don't really think I'm going to go off those tonight. If you have your Bible, you can turn it to John 15, or you can have it go there real quick. John chapter 15. And I want to talk to you about something that I've been kind of just thinking about lately. Because you know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of people just thinking that being at church is the answer. Can I tell you that's not what we're here for? I'm not here just to show up at church and go to a building. I'm not here to say that I showed up on Thursday and I showed up on Sunday. I'm good. That's not the intent. That's not what we're here for. That's not the goal. The goal is to raise up believers, strong believers in Christ. Those who are going to follow Jesus, but not just follow Jesus, but have other people follow Jesus because of their life. To engage in the kingdom of heaven. Tonight, I'm going to give you three E's. We're going to run with them. I talked to the interns about them like 2 weeks ago, so I'll refresh them. But the rest of y'all, I'm going to encourage you, because it's not time to raise up another generation of churchgoers. Some amens. It's not time to raise up a generation of people that just show up and take a seat. It's time to raise up people who follow Jesus, who love Jesus, who live for Jesus every single day. And these E's are easy, and we're going to pull them out of John chapter 15, verse 1 through 9, and we'll talk about 10 and 11 because they're great as well. But Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's encouraging them, and he's showing them a path to live. And I'm going to read it. He says it like this. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I've spoken to you, abide in me. And this is the key. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words, and I in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. And I love this. This is literally Jesus saying, this is the key to making sure that you walk this out with me. Jesus is letting his disciples right now, if you can fulfill these things, then people will know that you're my disciple. See, I found a lot of believers, they think that just striving to accomplish something gets God's love. I found a lot of people, they just try to get a lot of people to church. But we get it backwards. See, we think that God's biggest goal is that we expand his kingdom. And I think that that's a byproduct of what his real biggest goal is. If you're taking notes, the first E I want you to write real quick is this, is that we need to experience Jesus. I mean, I'll tell you what, if we're going to be people that love Jesus, if we're going to be people that are effective for Jesus, if we're going to be people that follow Jesus out the rest of our life, not out of obligation, but out of opportunity, we need to make sure that we can experience Jesus on his own. I'll tell you what, that worship set, I could feel God in the room. Anybody else? Here's the deal, though. You shouldn't just experience God in a worship set on a Thursday night, a Sunday morning, at Awaken. You shouldn't just experience Jesus in your small group. We need to make sure that we can experience Jesus any moment, any day, at every opportunity. I'm telling you, it can be the lowest low of your life. You can experience Jesus right there, right then. It could be the highest high of your life. And it's a moment to experience Jesus. as believers, it's not my responsibility to make sure you follow the Lord. You know, it's my responsibility to make sure you have the tools, you know how to, you're equipped, you're brought to maturity, you're brought to unity. But I can't make you do the things that build a relationship. You have to make a decision to experience Jesus on your own. Man, you have to make a decision to get up and read your own Bible. You got to make a decision to worship on your own. You got to make a decision to pray. It's a decision that we personally make, and this is what Jesus said. He said, if you abide in me, if you remain in my presence, someone asked me this week, how do I abide in Christ? Can I tell you it's easy? It's prayer, it's worship, it's the word, but then it's our focus. Man, how many times, who's a morning reader? I'm a morning reader. Who's a Bible reader? Let me see hands. Look, we should all be reading regularly. Why? Because this is how we start to abide in Christ. There's been times and moments in my life where, as I was a morning reader, I read in the morning, and then by lunchtime, I wouldn't even remember what I read. Anybody else do that? Here's the difference of doing something and abiding in something, okay? I was reading this week, and I'm still chewing on this. This is still getting at my heart. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. How do I know I've been abiding this? I've been meditating on this. I've been thinking about this. I've been trying to apply this. It says, only fear the Lord, ready? And consider all of the things he has done for you. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I started thinking about, only consider the things the Lord has done for me? Oh my goodness. Consider the great things he's done for me? Man, I got kids. I just was able to host an amazing conference. I'm healthy. I have a great house I just closed on. I got so many amazing things that the Lord has done. The difference of just reading your Bible and abiding in the word is what is our focus on this thing? Man, when's the last time you read and you started thinking about that thing throughout the day? You started to apply that thing throughout the day. What's abiding like? Abiding's not just setting a 10-minute countdown on your phone for prayer. But abiding is halfway through your day. You're on the road, you're driving, you're walking, and you're just talking to the Lord. Father, I love you. Jesus, thank you. God, what do you want me to do after this? Who do you want me to pray for? That's abiding. Man, think about it. If the only time you talked to your boyfriend or your girlfriend was in the morning, and you didn't talk to them all the way the rest of the day, you didn't see them, you didn't FaceTime them, you didn't send them no memes, nothing until the next morning. It's not abiding in a relationship. That's just checking in. Man, Jesus said it like this. If you abide in me, can I encourage you? The greatest thing we can do as believers is abide in Christ. The greatest thing we can do as believers is have our mind, will, and emotions wrapped around Jesus. Psalm 119. I believe it's verse 9, and I know verse 11. It says this, how can a young man stay pure? That's the question. How can a young person stay pure? And then verse 11 says that if we treasure the things of God, then we won't sin against him. Man, can I tell you? When we abide in Christ, we don't need to worry about trying to not sin all the time. We get so wrapped up in it. Man, I'm telling you what. When you're old enough to date and not just waste your time with some other random girl, some other random boy, you'll find you get wrapped up in that relationship. You go to bed thinking about him. Elijah's like, oh my gosh, yes. You start waking up thinking about him. In the daytime, you're checking up on him. Like, how you doing today? Oh, what'd you have for lunch? Was it as good as last time? You want me to drop you off Starbucks? It's out of the way, but I'll get it for you. You want a cake pop? I'm good on the cake pop, but I'll take the bucks. But here's the difference, is when you abide in something, that's your focus. That's what you're dwelling on. Man, can I tell you how to stay pure? Can I tell you how to get all that God has for you? Is to get wrapped up in God. He said, if you abide in me, we don't need a generation of people that just abide in a building. We're not called to abide in a building. We're called to abide in Christ. And when we spend our time and our focus and our energy on Jesus, some things start to happen. Some things start to shift. And I'll tell you what, some people, they thought that following Jesus was just going to church. I'm telling you, that's a byproduct of following Jesus. That's not following Jesus. I know a lot of people, they go to church, but they're still a big gossip. I know a lot of people, they go to church, and they're out living just like the rest of the world. I know a lot of people, they show up in a building, but it hasn't changed their heart because they haven't spent their time with Jesus like he's asked us to. I mean, he didn't die for us to come to a building. He died so that we could have relationship with us. He died so that he could make us the temple of the living, of the Holy Spirit. A byproduct of being a follower of Jesus is attending his house. It's not the mark of being a believer. And I want to encourage you. Yes, we should be in the house, but more importantly, we should be with Jesus day in and day out. And this is what he said. He said, if you abide in me, you're going to start to produce things. Some things are going to start to happen in your life. Because here's what happens. I mean, when you spend time with Christ, you start to think like Christ. You ever start spending time with a new friend and you start getting some different ways of thinking? You ever spend time with a friend and you come home and your parents are yelling, you'd be like, why are you talking like that? You don't talk like that unless you're spending time with that person. Come on. Your parents ever do that? My parents did. Why are you acting like that? You don't do that when you're around these other people. I don't want you spending time with them anymore. You want to know why? Because what we're attached to, we start to think like. What we're attached to, we start to talk like. What we're attached to, we start to live like and do like. And this is what Jesus is trying to get at. When you abide in Christ, you start to live like Christ. Why? Because you get a heart transfusion. Here's the difference. You can't, like, if I plant an apple tree and go out in 5 years and go to pick and I go out and I'm like, man, I can't wait to get an orange off that tree I planted. That's not how it works. That's not what got planted. That's not what it's going to produce. This is the same truth in our life. Where we're planted, where we abide, will produce the fruit in our life. I mean, if our whole life is just scrolling our For You page on TikTok, looking at everything that's shaking at us, no wonder why you're going to be abiding somewhere else. Moving to the website next. If the only thing we're doing is the same things in our ear all day long, as the rest of the world, where do you think your life is going to be producing like the rest of the world? But when we get hooked up with Christ, everything shifts, everything changes. Can I tell you, when you start to abide in Christ, you get a new heart. You start to think different. You start to do different. You start to talk different. See, I don't want you just in church. I want you to learn how to experience Jesus on your own. We need to be reading our Bible on our own. We need to be praying by our own. We need to be set up worship moments on our own. We're like, well, I don't know where to read. Open up your Bible app. It's free. Absolutely free. We got free Wi-Fi here. If you don't have it at home, you can download it right now. They changed the color of the app. I'm kind of mad at them. It's ugly now. It was way better before. I'm going to start circulating a petition for it to go back. I am. I'm going to start it tonight. I'm going to start a whole Google Sheets thing. I'm going to do it right now. Every denomination, every nation, everybody wants it back. But it's free. There's thousands of Bible reading apps right there. Well, I don't know where to worship. Man, go right onto YouTube and type in Worship Music 2021. Or ask your leader to send you some songs. And then just let the algorithm play out. Don't worry. It'll get you. Well, I don't know how to pray. Man, we'll help you. There's plenty of videos. There's plenty of conversations we can have about it. But you need to learn how to experience Jesus on your own. I'm sick of raising people up that just go to church. You need to learn how to experience Jesus. Church is boring. That's because you don't experience Jesus on your own. That's because you're coming to church out of obligation. You're not coming to church because you love Jesus. You come to church because that's just what you do. But when you come to church and you've had your own encounter, your own time, your own chasing of Jesus, then you're showing up with passion. You want to know why? Because now I get to meet with everybody and we get to meet with the Lord together. There's a shift and a difference. Church isn't boring. You're attached to the wrong thing. You're attached to religion and a building. I'm attached to the vine. I'm attached to Jesus. And I know he's here to talk to me. I know he's here to show up and do something in my life. Not just on Thursday, not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Just the same at small group as it is in my shower. Just the same as in my shower on Sunday morning. God's got me. And he wants to have experiences with me. We need to learn how to experience Jesus on our own. Yeah. That's the first E. The second E is we need to learn how to engage in the kingdom. Because here's what happens. I was saying that you start to have a different heart and you start to talk different, you start to think different, and you start to do different. Man, without having a heart change, it's just behavior modification. I don't want to have your behavior modified just because that's the good thing to do. I want your heart to get changed by Jesus, and then you do the right thing. You talk the right thing. You think the right thing because your heart got changed by Jesus. If you just come to church and try to live like church people, but you never had your heart changed, eventually something will be better. Something will be different, and you'll peace out of the church just as fast as you came because you never had a heart change. You just had behavior modification. But my life was changed by Jesus, and I love Jesus, and because I experience Jesus, I'm engaged in the kingdom. I think different, I talk different, I do different because my heart has been changed. Not because I just want to do better. And that's the shift that we have. And that's what God's looking for, engaged in the kingdom. Man, if you just serve because you think it's good to serve, then you got it mixed up. I serve God and his kingdom because I love him. Engaged in the kingdom. We need believers that are engaged in the kingdom. Man, you should serve on Sundays. You got a talent, you should give it to the Lord. You should help serve in that school group that's going to get launched. You should be a part of these things. You should be engaged in the kingdom of heaven. When we're saying, hey, we're having small group, it's going to be a prayer meeting. Dang, I'm there. Your small group hits you up Saturday morning. Hey, let's pray. Hey, let's go to the church parking lot. Let's pray. Let's start seeking God together. There needs to be a shift in us. I don't just go to church. I'm engaged in the kingdom of heaven. I'm active in the kingdom of heaven. You ever have anybody on your team and they're just there because they like to say they're there and like to say they're a part of something, but low-key, they're just dead weight? Bro, those are the worst teammates. Bro, those teammates were actually kind of fun in football because you just, like, line them up and drill them. They'd be the kids on punt team, and they got just put on punt team because they needed 40 people in jerseys. But they were just there so they could wear the jersey. We got too many people that are here just to say, oh, I'm just a part of. No. We're engaged in the kingdom. Man, this room, I'm telling you, you're engaged in the kingdom. We serve. We love Jesus. We do the things of God. We lay hands on the sick. We're engaged in the kingdom. We cast out demons. We go and we are active in the kingdom of heaven in this room. You're like, well, maybe not yet. You're going to be. We're active in the kingdom of heaven. In the 30, Jesus said, he said, if you abide in me, you produce fruit. I'm telling you what, it's time to expand the kingdom. But here's the issue. You'll hear, oh, bring people, share the gospel, share Jesus with somebody. And if that's your only focus, but you're never focusing on spending time with Jesus, then you're not going to produce fruit because you can't produce what you're not. If your only goal is to get more people to church but not get people the God that you have that changed your life, then we're serving the wrong thing. Imagine you got a salesman trying to sell you something they don't even really believe in. They just know that they're supposed to. That's not it. But when we experience Jesus and we're engaged in his kingdom, it's natural for us to produce fruit. Think about it like that tree. If you plant an apple tree, it's going to produce apples. When you're engaged in the kingdom, when you're experiencing Jesus, you're going to produce more believers. The kingdom of God will be expanded. You want to know why I still got these chairs out here? I could put pipe and drape up. I could make it look like this room is full right now, but I don't want it to look full right now. I want to challenge you in this room that it's time to experience Jesus, engage in his kingdom, and expand the kingdom of heaven. These chairs are out here still because I want you to know there's souls that don't yet know Jesus. There's chairs that are still empty. There's still people that haven't heard the goodness of God. And it's our responsibility to take this gospel to our generation, but it only happens when we experience Jesus and we're engaged in his kingdom. It's natural once we do that. It's not forced. It's natural. You're like, why does that person keep sharing Jesus with everybody? It just blurts out. Man, it's natural to watch a great movie and start telling everybody else about it. It's natural to go. You know what makes me mad? Nobody is scared about talking about the best party they went to the first week of school. Like, oh, you went to this party? Yeah, I did this. You remember that? Oh, it was crazy. Hyping it all up at your lunch table. That's how it goes. I'm not stupid. I was in the lunchroom for like 5 years. And I went to high school. Nobody's ashamed of bragging about it. But for some reason, Christians just shut right up. Oh, what'd you do? Oh, it was an all right summer. I was kind of bored. I don't know. I didn't really do anything. Are you kidding me? We experienced Jesus tear heaven open in this room. If you were an intern, you prayed, you knocked on doors, you shared the gospel with people. Things happen that are worth talking about. Expanding the kingdom naturally. I'm excited about what Jesus does. Man, I'm excited. I got to talk to some random dude on the phone from Arizona about building a website, and we end up talking about Jesus. And I haven't even given him a quote on a website. I was texting him today about, did you get to go to church yet and meet with that pastor again? That's exciting to me. It was exciting to me talking to a guy at the gym that I just started going to, and he's having crazy marriage issues. And then he's like rejecting everything that I'm talking about. But then the other day we started talking about how the world is getting crazy. And I was like, yeah, the Bible says it will be like the days of Noah. He's like, I heard that. And we start talking, and I send him Genesis chapter 6 and 7. I send him Matthew chapter 24, and I send him a sermon about the days of Noah and what it looks like. Those things are exciting. That wasn't forced. It was awesome. It was exciting. I talk about the things that I experience. But too many people are just like, oh, yeah, come sit in this chair with me. Come to church with me. It's a good thing. No, I'm not coming to church for a good thing. I'm coming to church because I experienced Jesus. I'm coming to church because I'm engaged in the kingdom. I'm coming to church because I'm expanding the kingdom of heaven. And I'm telling you, we're going to fill these seats. Not because, oh, it's just they just want numbers and more people. Yes, I do, because people are going to hell without the gospel. Like, well, Pastor Cody, go get them. No, you bring them. You expand the kingdom. Well, what? I couldn't. No, not me. I couldn't. I'm telling you what, you absolutely could. Look throughout the whole Bible. God uses the unlikely. God uses the overlooked. God uses the undervalued. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care if everybody else discounted you, looked you over. God has not. Go throughout all of Scripture. That's who God uses. Find David. He shows up, and Goliath is coming against everybody, but he's overlooked. He's undervalued. He said, go back. Why are you even here? Go away. No, you can't fight Goliath. And while everybody else was hiding, he's holding the head of the giant that everybody else was scared of. He was overlooked, undervalued, but God used his life. Yeah. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said that they were between 10 years old and 30 years old. And an entire nation is bowing to a golden statue at the threat of being burned alive and destroyed if they didn't. And there's three little Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While the nation is bowing, they're still standing. They were unlikely people. You want to know why? Because they were slaves in that land. They didn't have any rights to stand up, but they still stood. You want to know why? Because the God uses the unlikely. They get thrown into a fiery furnace, kills the king's men that threw them in, but they're still standing. Three go in, four come out, because God was standing with them as the fourth man. God uses the unlikely. The whole nation heard about God because of that. The whole nation heard about God because of that. Think about the man, the prophets. There were young prophets. There's young leaders. Joshua and a generation under the age of 20. The disciples. We think they're like grown men with theology degrees and they all had a pulpit. No. Most of the disciples were all under the age of 20 except for Jesus and Peter. You know, they weren't these like religious scholars. You know what the disciples were? They were tax collectors. They were fishermen. They were lawyers and doctors. They weren't special guys who knew the Bible in and out. They weren't even old. They were unlikely. They were overlooked by others. They were undervalued for what people think they could do. But they shook a nation. They shook the world, and we're still talking about it. Why does God use the unlikely? Why does God use the overlooked? Man, because they're not full of themselves. They're full of Jesus. They're not all bent up and what they could do, thinking that, oh, it's because I'm popular, people will do it. Oh, it's because I'm smart, people will do it. No, they're full of Jesus. And then when we get full of Jesus, when we realize, I don't care if the whole world overlooked me. I don't care if the whole world undervalues me. I don't care if the whole world thinks that I'm unlikely. God's going to use me to do something uncommon. Why? Because I experience Jesus. I'm engaged in the kingdom. I expand the kingdom. Uncommon things are going to happen in my life. God's going to use my life in uncommon ways because I experience him daily. I'm engaged in his kingdom, and the kingdom's expanding through my life. I'm telling you, it's time to get hungry to experience Jesus. God's not hiding. God doesn't want to ignore you. God doesn't want you to miss him. God wants to expose himself to you more than anything else in the world. You're like, well, I don't believe it. I've tried. Man, why would he send his son to die on a cross just to play hide and go seek with you? His entire goal is to experience you. His entire goal is relationship with you. This is what Jesus wants. And the shift happens when we get hungry for Jesus. Man, a hungry generation. I think my question is simple. Where are the ones that are hungry for Jesus? Where are the ones that desire Jesus more than anything else? Where are the ones that want his presence? They're desperate for his presence. Man, there's people that are freaking desperate for a Puff Bar. Can we be more desperate for Jesus than they are nicotine? Can we be more desperate for Jesus than someone's next bump? Can we be desperate for Jesus more than anything else and anyone else? That's where shifts happen. That's where changes happen. When we get a burning passion for Jesus. Well, I don't know how to get a burning passion. We make a decision that I'm going to chase Jesus with everything that I have. And I'm telling you what, when you make that decision, he meets you where you're at. Scripture says it like this. He says, this is the issue most people make. Most people make the mistake of saying, well, if God wants me, he can come and get me right here. And the scripture says it like this. If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. God's not here to force you into a relationship. He's not here to force you to experience him. What God is saying is that if you desire me and take a step towards me, I'm going to meet you right where you are. I'm going to meet you right where you are. I'm not going to make you chase me around. I'm going to meet you where you are. Why? Because if you draw near to God, he's going to draw near to you. Stop having the expectation that God's going to show up one day and everything's going to shift and change in a magical way. And make the decision that I'm going to chase after Jesus. I'm going to take those first steps. In reality, they're not the first steps. He already made the first steps because while we were still yet sinners, he died for us on the cross. He made the first step. It's time to meet him where he's at. It's time to take the step towards him. The question is simple. Where are the hungry ones for Jesus? Where are those that will stop at nothing to experience Jesus? And when we're those people, I'm telling you what, engagement in the kingdom is easy because we start to talk like him. We start to think like him. We start to go where he'd go. We start to do what he would do. And when we start to live like that, think about how crazy this is. When we experience Jesus, we start to do what he does. We start to think like he does. We start to speak like he does. And when we live like that, it's easy to expand the kingdom because it's natural that the things of God, when they flow out of you, it produces the things of God. That's what I want in my life. And I want to invite you to the same life. But it starts easy. It starts by experiencing Jesus. And it's a decision to experience Jesus. It's not like a spin on the wheel. It's not that you got lucky that night. It's because you got hungry that night. John G. Lake, I'm going to end with this. John G. Lake, he said, I wish I could impart one thing to the next generation. It wasn't a greater knowledge of the Bible. It wasn't more miracles. You know what he said he wished he could give this next generation? He said, I wish that I could give them the gift of hunger. A greater hunger for Jesus produces everything else that we're looking for. A greater hunger for Jesus takes care of everything else. I wish and I pray that your hunger for Jesus would grow, that you would experience Jesus on your own, that you would experience and engage in the kingdom, that you would experience and engage in the kingdom, and the kingdom of God would be expanded because of it. Not that you would just be a good church attender, but we'd be so hungry for Jesus that only he would come out of us. That's the difference. That's the shift. That's when your friends start to come to Christ. That's when people start to stop you and like, whoa, what's so different about you? I want what you have. That's when people say, I know how you were when we were in school last, like 2 years ago, and I see how you are now. What changed? I want it. You know, here's the thing. People are like, well, Jesus, he just wants to use me. No. Do you have any promise in John chapter 15, verse 11? He said that you may have joy and a fullness of joy. Man, what happens when we experience Jesus, when we engage in his kingdom and we expand his kingdom, we have joy and a fullness of joy. That's what God has for us. And it starts with hunger. It starts with hunger. And he'll use you no matter where you're at. But in order to use you, it starts with this. It starts with an uncommon hunger for Christ. And that's what God wants to put in your heart. I don't care if there's 3 people here tonight or 3,000 here tonight. This is what God wants you to have. He wants you to have a greater hunger for Christ, a greater hunger for himself. And everything else changes. Everything else shifts. That's what we're aiming towards. That's what we're going to have. Man, your small group this week, I'm going to encourage you, have fun, but chase after Jesus. Set a prayer time. Get after God with everything that you have. Man, tomorrow morning, even tonight, don't go just throw on Netflix. Go throw on worship tonight and see what God does. I mean, when you wake up tomorrow morning, wake up 10, 15 minutes early, start reading your Bible, see what God does. Start thinking on the things of God. Start doing the things of God. And you'll see your life completely flipped upside down. Amen? Will you guys bow your heads? If there's anybody in here you don't know Jesus, but you feel him tugging on your heart right now, I want to encourage you, you can experience Jesus. Not just in a one moment, but he wants to have relationship with you every day. Tonight, if you don't know God, here's your opportunity. There's only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. It's not anybody else. It's not anything else. It's Jesus. There's no other religion. You can't be a good enough person. It's surrendering your life to Jesus. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you need to get right. Maybe you've been living in a lifestyle of sin and you say, I need to get right with God right now. If that's you, will you wave your hand at me? Amen. We got our core group in here tonight. Man, if I were to talk to you as a core group right now, not looking around, not thinking about anybody else, if I could talk clearly to you right now, I would challenge you to get a greater hunger for Jesus. I would encourage you to make a decision to do more with Christ, not just more for Christ. I would encourage you to open up that Bible and read. I'd encourage you to worship on your own. I'd encourage you to start praying like never before and get a hunger for God like nothing else. Because when we get a hunger for God like nothing else, we meet with God like nothing else. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for the gift of hunger. Father, would you increase our desire for you? That, Lord, whatever what might have held our attention before, that you would hold it 100 times over. That, Lord, the distractions we have right now, we learn to cut them away and take the focus in a different direction. That, Father, those things that are trying to get our focus, that, Lord, we'd recenter and refocus on you. That we'd see the great things of God and we'd experience God like never before. Because a greater hunger is inside of us. If that's you, you want your hunger for God to increase. Will you just lift your hands right now? It's just a sign that I'm receiving what God has for me. It's not weird. Father, let them receive a greater hunger. You said those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, they're declaring a greater hunger, a greater thirst. I pray it increases from this day forward. And only goes up in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you love him, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Look, I love you guys, and genuinely, that's my heart for you. Not that you become great church attenders, but that you love Jesus greatly. I'd encourage you to start to serve. I'd encourage you to get in a small group. And if you need anything, you know who to call, you know who to ask. You got your small group leaders, and then you got me. Before you leave, though, if you need anything, there'll be a couple of us up at the front to pray. We'd love to pray for you for anything that you need. And we love you. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. Can y'all cut the live stream real quick? I don't want to get indicted for what I'm about to say right now by Pastor Aaron.